The opinions and statements expressed in the following program do not necessarily reflect those of WWDB, its staff, or management.
Praise God and welcome to Rightly Dividing the Root of Truth. And I'm your host, Minister Martin DeValley. And I'm also here with my co-host, Pastor Ronald Wright.
God bless you, my brother. How are you?
Excellent. Praise Excellent. Good to be alive. Amen.
Yes. Thank God for another day by his grace and mercy.
Yes. Enjoying the sunlight.
Yes. Amen. 70, what, tomorrow 72 here in Philadelphia.
Okay. Okay. Okay, so you brought a little bit of that Orlando back with you.
Oh, man, it's wonderful.
Praise God.
I just wanted to, last night, well, 2 weeks ago, we started a series on Jesus Christ, Freedom in the Son, the Amen. S-O-N, and how he brings freedom from the bondage of sin and from the darkness of sin, you know, where we come from. We come from the streets and... Every household has had to deal with different bondages as far as outside of Christ.
Yes, yes.
And it's so strong that some of these bondages and sins follow us all the way, you know, throughout our life. They don't stop coming after us.
Amen.
That's why Jesus Christ says, I am the light of the world. He that follows after me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of light, and the darkness shall not catch up to him. You know what I mean?
Right,
the
right.
The enemy... is never stopping to bring us back into bondage and to bring us back into darkness. That's what we're used to.
Right,
and
right.
So I wanted to bring this, wanted to do a spinoff. This is like a spinoff from what we've been teaching on, and it's just simply entitled, Jesus Christ, the Light of the World.
Jesus Christ, the Light of the World.
The Light of the World.
And, amen.
And we come from some dark places, Pastor Valley.
Yes, yes,
and
yes.
The Fight Club, this is a group that we've come together. I've come together with Pastor Martin Valley and his wife, Pastor Nicole Valley, to just link up with them and fight for our community with the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Yes, yes.
With the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I want to say this, that Jesus Christ declared himself to be the light of the world.
Mm.
Right?
Yes,
so
yes.
So for the Pharisees, and I touched on this last night, for the Pharisees, the ones that he was talking to them, they knew very well what he was claiming to be. They knew that he was claiming to be God. They knew that he was claiming to be the Messiah.
Right.
And so if you look at the text and dig a little deeper in the Greek text, he's claiming to be the only source of light.
Mm.
I don't want to go a little bit too deep into it.
No, that's all right.
The Greek text.
That's definitely all right.
The Greek, and we know that we're living in a world where people are going after all kinds of enlightenment, energy, the universe.
Meditation,
false religion, all kinds of stuff, because they don't want the light that comes from Jesus Christ. And they and the claims of Jesus Christ is that he is the only source of light. So he says this. He says, ego emi tu phos tu kumo, which is to say, right? Now, they knew exactly what he was saying.
Right,
so we have the English version of what he said.
Okay.
So our job as ministers is to try to bridge the gap from 2,000-something years to now.
To now, correct.
You know what
correct.
I mean? That's what we're trying to do. We're trying to put ourselves in the biblical text. And so what he's saying there is He explicitly claims himself to be the sole solitary source of light. There is no other light.
No other light. Lord have mercy. So that's why he says that I am the true. I am the light. And he's also, he is the way.
Right.
And I think we live in a day and time where we're trying to find other lights. We're more attracted to other false truth. And we're trying to find a way. And what Christ is saying is that, listen, I fulfill all of that. The question is, why aren't we pursuing him for that? If he is, he's given us the answer. Why are people that God, I guess, some had to made? There's a void in us.
Yes.
That no matter what you go after, it cannot fulfill that void. It sometimes it can soothe it. It can make it feel good. But to get certain voids filled can only come from God. And what amazes me is how people try to look and investigate and spend a lifetime chase going in the wrong direction, meanwhile trying to focus on going into the right direction.
Right. So, you know, the main thing that they did and what men do today is that they constantly, Jesus Christ is not trying to win the argument.
Right. Right.
The argument is not to be won. He doesn't prove that he's the light by trying to win the argument. He proves that he's the light by just simply shining.
Correct. Correct. Correct.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
And we know
yes.
that the scripture says that the God of this world, Satan, has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the glorious gospel of Christ would shine unto them and they would believe. So we know that false religion, false belief systems, all of this stuff is a distraction. I had a friend that had the third eye tattooed on his neck.
Oh, wow.
Okay. Right? Mm-hmm. And the third eye says that there's another source of enlightenment. It's basically Egyptology.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Okay.
It's
okay.
Egyptology. There's a higher level of light. You
okay.
know what I mean? There's
yeah.
a there's a different, in yoga, they teach your center.
Right.
Right? Reaching your center.
Right.
So in yoga, and I'm going to get back to the Egyptology. In yoga, they teach pranayama. Those are breathing exercises.
Right.
And yoga means to yoke. So this is why Christians shouldn't do yoga. So yoga simply saying that I'm yoking up with the Hindu god Brahman. I'm becoming one with him. And through those exercises, those breathing exercises, I'm going to yoke myself up with Brahma to reach my center. And these are the different, all of this stuff is nothing but Eastern mysticism repackaged. Don't put that out into the universe.
Right,
the universe,
right.
This, the bad energy, this, bad karma, and all of those stuff. That is nothing but Hindu
right.
jargon, so
right.
to speak. But Jesus Christ, now their deception was false religion.
Okay.
They were still attached to the law.
Okay.
Right? And he tells these law keepers, he tells them, he says, I know where I come from and I know where I'm going. But you don't know where I come from and you don't know where I'm going.
Right.
And where I'm going, you can't go.
You can't go, right? Right.
And, even though they had the law of Moses, they were attached to old Hebrew traditions, the Sabbath days, the ceremonial law, the moral law, the Levitical law, all of these laws, these Pharisees propagating, spreading. And Jesus Christ comes on the scene and tell them, except you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. And this is the great divider when it comes to us following Jesus Christ, is that the world, you notice, Pastor Valley, that the world doesn't mind us saying God.
No, not at all. Not
you
not
said
at all.
This years ago.
Yeah.
I heard you say this years ago. The world has no problem with us saying God.
Yeah, that's an easy word to
right?
say is God.
I can have a conversation with unbelievers and right. get along with them and we can have fun talking about God.
Right. Right.
God is good and God is that. They don't mind talking about God.
Right, right.
But the mention you mentioned Jesus.
Right, right, right.
This is where the trouble starts.
Yeah, well, you know what, man? Jesus challenged mankind. And when Jesus challenged us, because see, under God, men had a lot of privileges under God. Under God, you can have several wives. Under God, you know, you can do certain things. But when Jesus came, he came to challenge, amen, the emotional side of man versus the spirit side of man, such as if you look on a woman and lust after her, you know, you already did it.
Yeah.
And you know, when you first say that, you say, you know, you got to be crazy. But when you slow that down, is that yes, that is true. I'm almost, wow, God, how do you know that men can lust after a woman to the point where we can lust after her so much to where we really consumed her already? You know, get on out of there. You know, your eyes in the wrong place and you staring at something a little too long. And it's like Jesus is saying, listen, I want you to realize that if you lust after it, you've already consumed it.
Right. And they'll tell us that the fallen man will tell us there's no problem with looking. There's nothing wrong with looking. Well, that's where it starts at.
Right.
It starts with the eyes, the lust of the eyes.
The lust of the eyes.
Right?
Yes.
And we're talking about Jesus being the light of the world today. We're talking about Jesus Christ being the light of the world. Now, in John chapter 8, he introduces himself as the light of the world right after he frees the woman of sin, right? He says, where are these your accusers? Right, where are they, right?
Yes.
He says, no man, has any man condemned me? She says, no man, Lord. And he says, neither do I. Go your way and sin no more. Don't practice sin no more.
Correct.
Not don't ever sin again.
Right.
Because if that's possible, then he's telling the woman to be perfect.
Right.
Go your way and be perfect. That's not what he's saying. He's saying, go your way and sin no more. Don't practice sin no more. Right?
Correct.
And how do we do that? He introduces himself right after that. Right after that. That's no coincidence, because that's a direct inference to himself being the only way out of sin, the only way out of darkness.
Right.
He says to her, go your way and sin no more. And then he says, I am the light of the world. He that follows after me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And I know, man, my testimony, I was telling you this earlier, all of my backslidings, I'm not blaming people.
Right.
I'm not blaming people. I'm blaming myself. But when you surround yourself by darkness, all of my backslidings are traced directly to hanging around my past.
Right, right,
now,
right.
Now, if there are people that I'm related to that are still, and my friends, that are still doing things that I did in my past, right?
Right.
You're still living that way.
Right.
Okay? You're living that way. So what I'm doing, when I go around you thinking that, you know, he that thinks he stands, take heed lest he fall. When I go around you and compromise, what I'm doing is I am linking up with my past.
Correct. Correct.
Right? So you guys are my future.
Right.
Right? Walking with Christ, walking in the light. We walk in the light as he is in the light. So as we continuously walk in the light, that's where the freedom comes in. That's where the deliverance comes in from following his word. But all of my backslidings and going back into darkness are attributed directly to going in those places and in those environments.
That is so true, because it seems that as a people, we struggle with being followers. And the reason why a lot of us, the world, struggle with being followers is because we were called to be followers, but to follow Christ. We were called to be followers of the Lord. We was called to do that. But witchcraft is very, very powerful, because, you know, when the world is following darkness. Now, I'm a follower, and all I know to do is follow, right? And when you begin to follow people who are leading us into the darkness of the world, because the enemy is the only person that has the ability to make ugly look good. I mean, he really can make ugly look good. He can call a curse and a blessing. He can call a death grave a party. You know, you got some folks thinking they're going to go to hell and have a party in hell. So the power of how he can deceive and dilute somebody's mind is amazing. So now the world is following darkness, and the children of God is supposed to follow light. But now you said something, and I really need you to minister, because I believe one of the faults of a lot of believers is that Jesus says this, strive for perfection, strive to be perfect. But it is a common thing amongst Christians and amongst people is I ain't perfect. We throw that around like this is something that I'm not striving to be. My goal is to achieve a certain level as a professional ex-sinner. I was a professional ex-sinner, and I love being a professional next center, when I was lost, I was glad to be lost. But when I realized I was lost and I want to be found, and my mindset is, man, I want to be all that I can be in the kingdom of God. I am seeking perfection in the kingdom of God. That's what allowed me to self-evaluate myself. I don't need you to judge me because I'm a judge every area of me. I'm going to do some things that you will never know about. Watch this. And I may never open my mouth and consult God about, but it's been dealt with internally. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Wait a minute, Lord. I went there, I saw this, I did this, and God ain't bothered me, God ain't rebuked me, he ain't exposed me. But as I begin to do self-evaluation, to really look and examine myself, I can fix it. I just believe that when we carry the Band-Aid, hey, I'm not perfect. Well, what are you striving to be? Here's a question I want to propose. What does being perfect mean? Does it mean me not offending you, or does it mean walking upright before God in a perfect mannerism, striving to walk in his character? We carry that title as Christian, and Christian means to be like, to be what? Christ-like, right? I've never heard Jesus say that I'm not perfect.
Right. So what he said in Matthew, that's an awesome segue question, everything, brother. Because what he says in Matthew 5:48, and see, you got two extremes here.
Yes.
You got the one side saying, Jesus said, be perfect. Be ye therefore perfect, mm-hmm. even as mm-hmm. your heavenly Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. So
right.
what is he talking about when he's saying, be ye therefore perfect? So if Christ said be perfect, that means you can be perfect, right? So he uses the Greek word teleos. It means complete and mature. Mm-hmm. Right? Strive ye to enter in.
Amen.
At the straight gate.
Mm-hmm.
Narrow
right.
is the way. So what you just described is that you are seeking to be mature and complete in him as much as humanly possible.
All
right.
Right?
Your desire is to please God.
Yes.
Right? Now, then there's the extreme where I know people living in sin, mm-hmm. living like the devil. And the minute you challenge them on these things,
right,
the first
right.
thing they say is, ain't nobody perfect.
Perfect, right, right.
Right?
Right.
Of course nobody's perfect. Mm-hmm. But if you are in Christ, there should be some level of, like you said, self-examine yourselves, brethren, to see whether you're in the faith.
Mm-hmm.
Right? There should be some level of self-examination. Right? If we judge ourselves, we will not be judged. There should be a level in me that I don't need Brother Martin or Brother Calvin to tell me some things at this age in Christ.
Right, right.
If I still need you guys to rebuke me on some things at this level,
right.
and I call myself a Bible teacher, then something's wrong with that picture.
Right.
Now,
right,
there are
right.
babes in Christ.
In Christ,
there
yes.
There are babes in Christ, but that's still not an excuse. The goal of the Christian is to grow in him, and as you follow him,
right.
you become more like him. Jesus Christ says, and I'll pass it over to Pastor Calvin, he says, he that hears these sayings of mine, mm-hmm. and we're talking about Jesus being the light of the world,
right.
he that hears these sayings of mine and do them, I will liken him to a man that built his house on a rock.
Yes,
right?
Yes.
Right? That's what he said. So what he's saying is that as you practice the word of God, as you apply my word to your life, you will become stronger. So
Amen.
The strength
yes.
is in
yes.
actually fleshing out and doing the word of God. It affects us spiritually.
Yes.
It affects our spiritual man. As the word is spiritual. He said, these words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. We may
life.
Not feel it, but
yes.
but when we get oppressed from the seen world, when we get oppressed from the fleshly world, because we have been practicing and applying God's
Amen.
Word to our life, when the winds and rains beat upon the house, so the strength is in doing the
yes.
word of God.
Yes.
And
yes.
then he says, he that hears these sayings of mine and don't do them, I will liken him to a man that built his house on the sand.
Mm-hmm.
So the more I neglect the word of God, we talk about these people that say, ain't nobody perfect. They're neglecting
right.
the word
right.
of God.
Right.
They're not walking with the word of with Christ. Mm-hmm. And so when all of these things happen, they like that man that built on the sand.
Amen.
That's where the weakness come in at.
Right, right,
so,
right.
So they,
right,
they,
right.
they are propagating weakness.
Right,
God
right.
didn't call you to be weak.
Right,
you know what I'm saying?
Yes, yes, yes.
So when
Amen.
He says, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect, teleos, Greek, complete.
Amen.
Mature.
Mature. I like that
whole.
Word. Whole. Yes, yes.
This is what we're seeking, wholeness.
Yes, yes.
Right?
No,
I'm
yes.
sorry.
No, you're good, Dr. Ryan. God bless you, people of God. One of the things that I've learned, I'm thinking about the disciples when I hear y'all talk. You got 12 disciples. You got Judas in the midst. Everybody's there. So you know they argued among themselves. They had disagreements among themselves.
Yes.
But you didn't see them willingly going out to practice sin.
Right.
You didn't see Peter say, let me go get some wine and get drunk and all that.
Right.
Jesus, he must be crazy.
Right.
Jesus knew what all of them were thinking.
Yes.
He knew their thoughts afar off. He knew how to deal with everybody. Yet, they still had disagreements. But they still love the Lord.
Yes, yes.
And then it was a different set of category of sinners when you're dealing with the harlot, the prostitute, you got the tax collector, the Pharisees. The Pharisees, which was at that time the self-righteous believers, they didn't believe in Jesus,
right.
And they attacked him.
And they
attacked him. These men, grown men, followed Jesus from town to town and argued with him and said he was Beelzebub.
Yes, they did.
So you have different categories of sinners.
Yes.
It's all sinners, darkness.
Right.
But
right.
You had the disciples who was trying to be perfected, Dr. Ryan,
yes.
Like you just said. Then you had the people who Jesus was ministering to,
right.
Tax collectors. You got the disciples, who was around Jesus learning to be perfected. Then you had the tax collectors. You had the woman who got caught in the act of adultery. You had the blind man who did sin.
Right.
You had all these people reaching out to Jesus, the lady with the issue of blood.
Yeah.
All these people, Jesus sitting at people's house, eating with people. This was a different category. He said, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance.
To repentance.
But then when you deal with the Pharisees, you were dealing with a
whole nother level.
Different
yeah.
category.
Yeah.
Then you had the Roman soldiers who would worship other gods. Idolatry was going on.
Right.
But when they heard Jesus spoke, they said, we never heard a man spoke like this before.
Hmm.
So it was a whole big melting pot.
Yeah.
But everybody was in sin, but different stages at that time.
Yes.
And when Christ came along, they got to the point, the Pharisees said, look, the whole world has gone after him.
Mm-hmm.
They told the people, stop saying Hosanna. Blessed is he that comes in the name,
of the Lord.
Right. And then Jesus said, I said to you, if these don't worship and say this, the rocks will cry out. So you're dealing with different category. And what you said, Dr. Ryan, is right. The Pharisees, they wouldn't even shake people's hand. But yet they dressed in a certain way. They carried themselves a certain way. But they didn't care about the Lord. Jesus said, if you are of Abraham's seed, you wouldn't want to kill me, a man
right,
who have told
right,
you the truth.
Right.
And then you had the disciples who were still, everybody didn't believe who Jesus was, the disciples. They were still learning.
Yes.
So he kept Peter, James, and John around him.
Remember his brothers. It says neither did his brothers believe
his
in
brothers.
Him.
Right.
John,
right.
His own family. Neither right. did his brothers believe in him.
Mm.
But go ahead, Martin.
But those who court the revelation, when you look at James, and James writes to the mature. I like when you said James write to the complete.
Yeah.
He writes and he says, listen, for a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways.
Yes.
So he's writing to a person who's at a mature age. In other words, he's not writing to a cub because cubs are expected to fall. It's a slim chance that they might get up, they might not. But to those who have fallen and have gotten up, James is now writing to them. You know, in other words, saying... count it all good when you fall into divers temptations, knowing that the trying of your faith worketh patience. And in other words, we've been through some things,
yeah.
And we overcame some things. We was down, but we prayed our way out of it. We matured our way out of it. So now that the enemy, as Brother Wright said, I love what he said, because the enemy is not going to stop coming after you. There are folks who have been born with a generational curse.
Mm.
A lot of men of God and women of God, we don't like to talk about the hidden battles that we battle within our emotions, that we battle within our head. About ready to preach a message, just got finished preaching a message, and the enemy still is going to attack you through the emotions of your flesh. We don't talk about that. But James would write and says, you know, listen, when these things come, it is important for us to overcome them right now on the world. It shows that we are an overcomer. So when the enemy brings things that once defeated me in my past, amen, and then he brings them right back to me again, now I have the opportunity to overcome some, let's say, psychological emotions that the right. enemy would come through and get victory over that. And then getting victory over that, God gets the victory out of my life. So Amen. Count it all joy when you fall into different attacks by the enemy, because why? He's going to attack you. Now, Jude, who always said that he was the servant of Jesus, man, he started writing about Michael the archangel contending with Satan over the body of Moses. He doesn't stop talking about earthly things, and he doesn't start talking about heavenly things because of the discipleship, amen, that have continued to go on. And I believe that when we lose focus of discipleship and put on the title of deacon and usher and bishop, yeah. amen, and forget that the main focus of our calling is what? Discipleship, follow Jesus, stay in the light. Because watch this, Brother Wright, if as a, we got all type of potential believers. Yeah. Some people have the potential to follow Christ. Man, I'm going to serve God with all of my heart. Then some of us who have been attacked by the enemy in this walk, we're looking for an excuse to sin. I mean, because it's just not easy right. dealing with constant attacks from the enemy. Now, somebody else that's in leadership is telling me, well, don't worry about that. You know, right. it's okay without letting them know, listen, if you fall down, you got to get back up. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Where did we go wrong? If Jesus is the light, amen, and the Bible said, let your what? Light shine, that men see your good works and glorify your Father which are in heaven. When is the believers is going to come back to the place, brother, I'm hurt. Brother, I'm struggling. Brother, I'm weak. I'm going through. And we begin to seek out those that are strong.
Right.
And we get help in love and not condemnation and rebuked and put down.
Well, I always, always share. You see, I didn't even know this guy, and I shared a little testimony with him. right?
That is so true.
I always share what I've been through. Right?
Right.
It's not an easy walk. It's not an easy walk. And so the more and more you share with people what you've been through, it gives them hope. And that's why I said there are two extremes. I'm not going to be the kind of preacher that says, God says, be perfect, be right, perfect, be
right,
perfect,
right,
be perfect.
Right.
Because now what I do is, Jesus Woo. Christ told the Pharisees, he says, you travel sea and land to make one proselyte, and when you convert him, you make him twofold the child of hell that he was when you found him. So yeah. what happens is, when you have that kind of dogmatic approach to discipleship and to bring him into Christ, so now what happens is, like you said, they're not going to tell you nothing that they go through because they don't want to approach Brother Ron because I present myself as never having been through nothing.
Right, right.
And
right.
so now what they do is, as new Christians, they hide, they don't come to church, they fake, they act, yeah. they fornicate, want to preach, all that stuff, and they don't want to share with
they don't
me
want to share,
because
right.
I'm not approachable. I can't right. relate to fallen.
Right,
right.
Right? Right.
And so, but when you share your experiences with people, when they do fall, you are approachable, right?
Amen.
You are an
yes.
approachable
yes.
person.
Yes,
and
yes.
Jesus Christ told the Jews that did believe in him, because some of the Pharisees and Jews did believe in him.
Right,
he
right.
He says to the Jews that believe in him, he says, if you continue in my word, then you are my disciples
right.
indeed.
Mm-hmm. mm-hmm.
Essentially saying that the proof is in the pudding.
Yes.
Continuing,
yes.
regardless of what you go through,
mm-hmm.
continuing. And he says, as you do that, he says, if you continue my word, you are my disciples indeed.
Right.
And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So what he's saying is that as you continue to walk with me, right? That's mm-hmm. first, that's proof that you are my disciple.
Yes.
And
yes.
as you continue to walk with me as a disciple, not a perfect disciple, but yes. as a disciple of Christ, you're going to know the truth, and that's going to make you free, meaning you're going to grow in levels of truth. And there's different
Amen.
Degrees yes. of freedom
yes.
in Christ.
Well, when you look at Peter, that's what I love about Christ,
man.
On how he told Peter. You know, he allowed Peter to talk tough. I mean, I'll never deny you. I'm ready to. I mean, he let him get that off. And then he tell him, you know, listen, you're going to fall. So you're going to do something against your thoughts. You're going to do something that you thought that you could never do. And the intentions of that is to break you, to cause you to think that you're defeated. But I love when he said, but I've prayed for you.
Yes.
In other words, but I covered you.
Yes.
So that lesson, Peter, is that when, you know, I tell you something. men can get together and we can boast and brag about position, because most men, we're positional people, and that's good. But also, men like to get together when we wounded. You know, when right. you wounded, you want to get around some brothers that you can talk to. You want to just be in the pack. You know, you just as broken, messed up as can be, but sometimes it just feel good for your self-esteem to be around some strong men.
Yeah.
And when strong men can love you past your faults, man, that gives an encouragement that's unspeakable, especially when you find out they had an inkling what you were going through.
Right.
But they said, listen, here's what I love about Christ. Peter, I know what you're going to do, and I'm not going to love you no less.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
And he knew.
And he knew what he was going to do. Right.
He knew.
Right. Right. So that means if I fall, right, if I fall and I know I fell, the first thing on my mind is, listen, yo, Brother Kev, I got to talk to you about something. Now somebody else, man, that's some good news. No, yeah. Bro, I fell. Well, and then when you come talk to them, they're like, well, listen, man, the sign was all there because you was around her too much. You were doing this too much. You were going to the place too much. And we tried telling you, but what you learned from it? Yeah. Well, come on, dust yourself on up. And brother, we're going to use you. That if, now, that, man,
now what Lord. You what you just said,
yes.
right? So what happens is, our wounds can spark faith in somebody else.
Yes, it can. Yes,
they
it can.
They said, Thomas, he is risen, Thomas. He says, no, I won't believe until I see him.
Right,
until
right.
I put my hands in his side and right. in his hands.
Right.
And so he prays, he says, look, Thomas, it's me. So Jesus Christ is not ashamed of his wounds.
No, not at all.
If Christ is not ashamed of his wounds, neither should we be ashamed of our wounds.
Yes, yes.
So he says, he sees him and he says, my Lord and my God. So by him showing Thomas his wounds, it sparked faith
yes.
in Thomas.
Amen.
It gave him hope.
Yes. All right. It says Jesus claims to be the light of the world, his claim to be God.
Right. To the Pharisees. Now they knew. His claim to be the light of the world is a claim to be God. Because to the Pharisees, light is synonymous with wisdom, knowledge, spiritual enlightenment. And so remember what I told you. He's saying, I'm the only source of light. I'm the right. only source of knowledge.
Yeah.
I'm the
yeah.
only source of wisdom. That's what he's saying. So to them, in their language, they're saying, oh, God is the only one that can do that.
Right, right, right.
And they wanted
right.
to...
Yeah, we got a problem now.
Yeah, we got a problem now. And
okay.
that's what unbelievers and people that are in different religions, different belief systems, that's the problem. Like I said, they can have a conversation about God all day long. But the moment you say Jesus is the only way to the Father, oh, no, now they got a problem.
Right.
And so Jesus Christ, the brother mentioned the 500 murders last year here in Philadelphia.
Right.
500 homicides, right? So I'm all for legislation. I'm all for community events. I'm all for interceding as far as getting together with different organizations. I'm all for that. Mm-hmm. But until this world, as long as this world continues to reject Jesus Christ, the world will continue to live in darkness.
Correct.
Pastor Smith used to quote this, and I got it right here, and he used to say it. I'm going to try to say it just like him. He says, and 1 John 5:19, he says, and we know that ye are of God, little children, and the whole world lies in wickedness. Remember, he used
yes.
to quote that all the
yes,
time?
Yes, he did. Yes.
So, listen, I'm for trying to help the community. I'm for all of that. But until man turns to Christ, the world is going to constantly get darker and darker. Does that mean we quit? No, we don't quit. But we constantly are the light of the world, just as Jesus Christ called us to be.
That is so true. I'm going to throw this to Kevin, too, back to Kev. Kev mentioned, I like when he said, when he showed us the different sects of sinners. You know, you had the Pharisees, you had the disciples, we saw their faults.
Right.
And then you could look at that as levels. It's, you know, it's like Jesus chose to talk to the Pharisees on a complete different level than he would talk to us. And I think that's where a lot of local folks get confused about Jesus, because instead of it saying Jesus claimed just to be God, it says that Jesus claims to be the light of the world.
Right.
But the Pharisees in whom he was addressing, they understand the contents of what he was saying. And then Jesus got a little more indignant later down the line. He says, listen, thy sins be forgiven. And so now they tell the Pharisees and them, well, was it easy for me to say, get out of thy bed and walk, or to say, that thy sins be forgiven. I've been doing the same thing all along. So the Pharisees really caught this thing because it says he heard them pondering in their hearts, which meant that his agenda had worked. Pondering their heart that who can forgive a sin?
Yeah, exactly.
But God. Isn't that amazing how there was a conversation going on that ain't nobody here? They pondered in their hearts, who can forgive a sin, right? Period. But God.
But God. But God.
And now Jesus says to them, listen, is it easier for me to say, get out of thy bed and walk, or to say thy sins be forgiven? But I'm going to say this, watch this, so that you know.
Exactly. Exactly.
That I know that you know. And that's when you fall in love with Christ and you begin to get into his words. He's really declaring who he is, amen, all through the text.
Exactly.
Amen. Once you begin to get in the word of God. My question is, why would you want to follow anybody else other than him? Here's what I love about what Christ does. Is he does something else, Brother Ron, because we know that in this world, it's levels. I don't care who you are. It's a level. Well, you just came into the job. You're a trainee. And then you can become, you know, move up in corporate. But there's different levels. Here's what God does that's incredible. He says that I want man to declare and to decree my level. This is what I want. I want man to do that. I came for man. Mm-hmm. But Satan began to realize, well, since you're talking about levels, we got to declare that you are the Son of the Living God. You are the Messiah. Shut up. Hold your peace. Don't say nothing. Now, we got to understand what comes in your life to hinder you, what comes in your life to plague you, what comes into your world to distort you, what comes into your world to oppress you and to control you, amen, and to cause you to become a slave to it. The God of this world have a lot of slaves. And what Christ exactly. showed us was exactly. that the God of this world, whenever it would see him, it would immediately bow down and worship him. In other words, it showed and it paid homage based upon the ranks.
Yep.
So if you want to be delivered, then you must go to the deliverer for the things that have you
right.
what in captivity
right.
that won't acknowledge who you are.
The highest
but
ranking
must,
spirit.
But
that's
must
right.
yeah. but must identify who he is.
Yes.
So now they bow down. Lord.
Yes.
What do you do? Do you
yes,
come
Lord.
To the what? Listen
yes.
now. They didn't say Jehovah, Mikashi. They didn't they said, Lord Jesus, do you come to what? Man, they didn't say evict. They didn't say excuse us. They said, do you come
Talk.
To destroy us? Watch
yeah.
this. Before our time. Now, that's telling you right now that if you want deliverance,
yes.
it's not do you want to believe in him? It's not do you want to trust in him? Ain't that amazing that the God of faith steps out of faith and says, listen, the only way that you can get complete healing or deliverance is you must come to him.
Yes.
And that's why when people are in jail and their life are on the line, they don't really care. Listen, what doctrine they've been raised up in, pastor, preacher, when you talk to him, could you say a prayer for me? You ever notice that?
Yeah.
When the urgency of somebody's life is on the line is really not about what religion they're in. They want somebody of the Christian faith to pray for them.
You mentioned urgency.
Right.
The throng of people, and this goes back to desiring God mm-hmm. as far as walking with them. The throng of people, they said, Master, all of these people here, and when Jesus turned around and said, who touched me?
Yeah.
Right? So this woman, there is a level of urgency and faith that get God's attention. Everybody else there for different reasons.
Yes.
See what I'm saying? They want to see him do a miracle. They want to see him feed us again. You're not seeking yeah. me because you saw the miracles. You want entertainment and you want food.
Yes.
People
yes.
come around for entertainment and food. That's what John chapter 6 was about.
Yes.
He says, labor not for that meat which perish, but for that meat which endure to eternal life. People are looking for entertainment. They're looking for food. They're looking for God to do stuff for them. So they're not really going after God.
Right.
So that's a different level of urgency like you just spoke about.
Yes.
That woman grabbed him. She was on another level
yes.
of urgency. I'm sorry.
Yes. And this is the thing, Dr. Yes. Valley, what you were just saying, and that's powerful, Dr. Ryan, because when Jesus spoke, he knew he was talking to the lambs. And I've always said this,
yeah,
but the lambs
it,
the sheep and the lions.
Amen.
The lambs are the babies. He talking to them. They looking around the spiritual world. They are totally oblivious. What is going on?
Yeah.
Why is these demons talking out of that man?
Right.
What
right.
just happened?
Right.
Then you got the sheep that said, I think he just cast something evil out of that person. Right. And he got healed. Then you got the Pharisee said, we know these are devils being cast out. But how can he do that unless he himself is a devil?
Right, right.
So what you said that, Dr. Valley, you hit a key point.
Amen.
Jesus was dealing with everybody on their category. The lamb was like, I need him because I need hope. I need salvation. My sins, I'm in bound to the boil of sin. I'm done.
Yes.
The sheep said, if we can continue to follow Jesus, then we are his disciples.
Yes.
The Pharisees who knew the law.
Yes.
Because when Jesus was talking, he was breaking natural laws.
Yes.
And spiritual law.
Yeah.
They was upset. The natural laws is Moses and Abraham didn't, they forbid you to cast out devils and do this work on the Sabbath.
On the Sabbath,
you're
right.
You're breaking the natural law.
Natural
the
law.
The spiritual law world say, we are in trouble, boys. Yeah. This man is coming to this town.
Yes.
And when he come in here, we all going under.
Yes.
Why is he here at this appointed time? Why is he coming here? If you notice something, before he got to that place where that man was possessed with devils, a strong storm came.
Yes, yes,
he
it
was
did.
On his way there. So they said, yes. Listen, Jesus is coming here.
Yes.
Try to just wreak havoc. We can't kill him.
Yeah.
Make
right.
them afraid to turn around.
Yes, yes.
And they tore well their boat up. And yeah. Jesus said, it won't, we're going to die. Jesus said, peace, be still. Now the devils knew who he was talking to. Yeah. They said, oh, shut down, y'all. Shut it down.
Shut it down.
He just shut it down spiritually.
That's awesome.
Then when
man.
He got there, he steps off the boat. They ran to him, like you said, Dr. Valley, and worship him.
Yes.
We know who thou art. Did you come to torment us before our time?
Mm.
They knew he was coming. They was waiting for him. They said, here he come. He coming. What mess up human people when someone got a demon inside of them and that devil look at them and they call him by their name. They said, he called my name.
Right,
well, they
right.
know you.
Yes. Sure they
spirits.
Knew. Yes,
but
yes.
with Jesus, there was a hierarchy of respect. They said, there's no way. We don't have no demon
right.
devils who can match this man's magnitude.
Listen, and this is why when you talk about the light of the world,
mm-hmm.
he says you are the light of the world. When you walking in the city of Philadelphia, the streets are full of darkness.
Yes, yes.
Demons.
Yes.
Different categories.
Drugs.
Yes.
Guns.
Yes.
Murder.
Yes.
Lying. Backbiting. This is why. This is why people that are of different belief systems, right? They can stand on a corner and do whatever they want to do.
Yes.
They can have a religion and still get high.
Right.
And nobody won't call them out on nothing.
Right.
But let a Christian try to stand on the corner, leaving church and go stand on the corner and get high.
Right.
Them demons going to say, what you doing out here?
Correct. Correct.
Because we carry the presence of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
We
yes.
carry the presence of Jesus Christ. That's why the spiritual world can recognize us. When we walk down a block, they can't pinpoint it theologically.
Right.
They just tell us, man, there's something about them. They tell you, he look weird, or it's a light about them because it's a spiritual warfare. We are the light of the world. We
right.
carry this light.
Right.
And as you carry this light, it comes with those demonic attacks. But like you said, the babes will say, what's going on? What's, you know what I mean? Once you get so mature in Christ, you get to the point where you just say, I know what's going on. I'm just going to keep following God. I'm going to press through it. You know what's
yes,
happening.
Yes,
there's
yes,
no need
yes.
to get riled up. There's no
right.
need to you know, get upset
right.
or why is this happening, God? Or why is this happening?
Mm.
All of that stuff is out the door.
That
if
is so
you
true.
Put a powerful, anointed man of God, bring him in from out of state and put him in with a high-ranking religious person. They don't even got to know each other, don't even got to say each other. There's a certain atmosphere that would take place in that room.
Yeah, yeah.
The atmosphere changes, and the person that's looking at him and say, I don't know who he is, but inside they know this has got to be something,
this is something
of a
yeah.
Christian man or
right.
something.
Right.
The other person would say, I know he got a high ranking too. It's
right.
something. It's,
yeah.
it's spiritual.
Yeah,
gentlemen.
It is. Yeah. It
because
definitely
wherever
is.
Y'all go right. at and we go at, right. we carry angels with us.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
When you walk in there, all those angels, they like bodyguards. They walk in there with you.
Right.
They all in the hallway, all out. They there because right. you're there.
Right.
The same thing with any false religion. Those devils follow them.
Right.
Because those men who follow the devil got a certain type of power that demonic forces draw
well
those
said.
Sinners
right.
to them too.
Right.
Yeah,
just
same,
like we
same
do.
Thing.
Right.
Yeah, it's the same right. thing.
And
you
we
talk
come
about
in
that
with a
lot.
Stronger
yeah.
one.
Yeah.
No, I definitely agree
you
with
talk
that.
About that a lot.
But it's like the believers, for some reason, don't want to grow in grace. They don't want to grow in the kingdom of God. So that they can operate the kingdom of God. We think that operating the kingdom of God is finding a favorite scripture, quoting it.
Mm-hmm.
The devil know more scriptures than you.
Yes.
But it's something more than quoting the scripture from your favorite scripture text in your Bible.
Yes.
It's something more because you have to become one with the word of God. You
yes.
have to know how to work the sword. And
yes.
what we don't want to do is learn how to work the sword. Watch this, because in the kingdom of God, he's awesome because he actually uses the kingdom of the wicked to elevate you. They're really your step stool, but we don't look at them as the step stool. Watch this now. Jesus, Kevin said it best. He says that Jesus is on his way. There's a man that's in the garden of, what's the name of the garden called? Was it Gethsemane?
No, you're talking about.
The brother that was in the tombs that cut himself day and night.
That's Gadarene.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Jesus is on his way there for that purpose to talk to him.
Yeah.
Now, the enemy understands that Jesus is coming to that territory.
Yes.
And 9 out of 10, this man going to get delivered.
Yep.
We can't stop him, but we can trouble what? The waters. Why is it that when we're about ready to do something, we get scared when the waters is troubled?
Yeah.
When Jesus got excited. First of all, you ought to expect what? Troubled waters when you're going to do the will of God.
Mm-hmm.
But you can speak to it, peace be still, or you can just keep moving right on through it. But that's the evidence that God's about ready to do something when the enemy come with turmoil. But he's conditioned us that because we're walking in the kingdom of God, that everything ought to be laid right there for
yeah.
us and it ought to be smooth sailing.
Mm-hmm.
No, you're going to rumble, amen, to get to where you got to go. But my rumbling is a good sign.
Yes.
When nobody jumping out is when I ought to be kind of worried. You know what I'm saying? Lord, something.
Martin, you said something that's key. You said something about especially new believers and, you know, people that have been saved for a while. You said something that you said it seems like believers don't want to go and grow in grace. And you said earlier about generational strongholds.
Right.
So one of the greatest hindrances to believers walking in the power that God has called us to is unsaved family members.
Wow. Yes.
And I'm going to tell you this. I'm telling you, see it all through the Bible. He said to Abraham, get thee out of thy country and from your kindred and from your father's house. Because in his father's house, it was idolatry going on there.
Yes.
You got to get away from that stuff.
Yes. Yes.
When Jesus called the disciples and they left their nets, left their dads, their mom, and they followed me. The one guy, Master, let me bury my dad and then I'll, you know what I mean? No, get away from that.
Yes.
He separated Paul, took him into Arabia. God always, there has to be a separation.
It gotta be.
You cannot walk in the full authority of God's power if you still compromising with your unsaved family members.
Well, I definitely agree with that.
On any level.
Yes, on any level. If the kingdom of man is going to excel in the kingdom of God, we have to look at, let's take what you said. I love what you said. Abraham, he takes Lot with him, correct?
Yeah. See?
Lot is completely different from Abraham, right?
Exactly. You see?
But now,
you see?
When he pulls, but here's something I wanna zoom in on, because here's what's hindering a lot of believers from reaching their full potential.
Yes, sir.
Listen, although Lot went into another direction, Abraham never lost his what? His love towards
exactly.
him.
Yeah.
We have right. successful oh. people in the kingdom of God in the right position, but they choose because of prior hurt are because of spiritual prejudice. You know, it's like we have brought all the natural foolishness of the world and somehow we dragged it along into the spiritual world. And now you got spiritual jealousy. You got spiritual prejudice. You got spiritual racism. You got a lot of foolishness that shouldn't be living over here that we brought over here. Yeah. And God's like saying, wait a minute now, you know, what's going on? So when the believers link up, you know, Jesus said it best, a kingdom that's divided can't. Lord, when he said that and Satan heard that one, he said, okay, I got you now. So if we can learn to come together and stand. Now, here's what confuses me, Brother Wright, is that it's to God be the glory. All gifts come from God.
Yeah.
As a man, you might can out-sing me, your gifts might be great. I shouldn't be provoked to jealousy. I'm dimming the light. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Jesus saying, I want to be that light of the world. Amen. But it's the believers. It's like almost the body is trying to cut off the head. And Jesus is trying to say, listen, if you let me be the head and you be the body and everything fitly joined together, we're going to be all right.
Yes.
Let's get to your second one. It was Jesus claimed to be the light of the world means that he reveals. That's a good one. He reveals the truth about God to us.
Exactly. So the Bible says that the only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he had declared him. The Greek word there is exegenomai, which means to reveal. Right? You have to have the teaching in Bible school, the exegesis.
Yes.
That's where they get that word from. John 1:18. He hath revealed him. All that there is to know about God must and only can be found in Jesus Christ.
Right.
Right? They said to him, the Pharisees again, in John chapter, and we're doing a series on this now called Freedom in the Son, verse by verse in John chapter 8.
Okay.
They say to him, trying to be smart and sarcastic, I wish I was there, man, when they was talking to him, because they said to him, they said unto him, where is your father? Right? Like, where is your father? You know, like, who is your father? Who you think you are?
Yeah.
And it was real intense. And look what he says to them. He says, you neither know me nor my father. If you had known me, you should have known my father also, which is to say that if you know Jesus, you know God.
Right.
That's what he says there. If you had known me, you had known my father also. All the truth about the spirit world, all the truth about eternity, all the truth about who God is, all of it can only be found in Jesus Christ.
Right.
Now, you can have religion without Jesus, but you can't have God without
Jesus.
You
can't have relationship.
You can't have relationship with God without Jesus Christ, because all that the sin and all that we need to do, the repentance and the heart of man, the mind of man, the spirit of man, the fallen nature, redemption.
Yeah.
Paul said that Christ has made unto us redemption, salvation, sanctification, and righteousness. Those four things. All of that is only found in Jesus Christ. Now,
amen.
Without Christ, you can have religion. You can only have a form of godliness. That's what he told the Pharisees. He said, you're concerned about the outward
appearance.
The outside of the cup.
Yeah.
Right? The outside of the cup. But the inside is filthy. That's what religion does. Religion makes you look good on the outside.
Yeah.
He said, you look like a coffin. You're shining on the outside, but in the inside, you're full of dead men's bones.
Mm.
So that's what religion does. It is only in the face of Jesus Christ, in the person of Jesus Christ, can we find the living and true God. There's no other way to find God, only through Jesus Christ.
Amen. You got anything to say, Brother Kev?
Yeah, I want to piggyback on what you said about Abraham and Lot, man. That's heavy.
Isn't it?
And yeah,
he never turned his back on Lot.
Three times he delivers Lot.
Yeah.
The first time when he left, like you said, he took Lot with him.
Yeah.
He delivered him, helped him out. The second time, the servants got into a disagreement. And Abraham went to Lot. He said, listen, me and you are brethren. We don't want nothing to be between us. He said, you pick out what you want first. If you take this, I'll take that. Take that, I'll take that. That's the second time.
And Lot pitched his tent towards Sodom. That's what got him in trouble. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
That's true.
Whenever you pitch your tent towards Sodom, you're in trouble.
You're in serious trouble.
The third time, You just said it, Dr. Ryan. He was in Sodom. The Lord had to show up this time.
Yes.
And God was coming to kill everything that pisses that against move. The law. And Abraham had to intercede with God so that Lot and his family would not die in Sodom.
Amen. And so it says that Jesus claims to be the light of the world, which means he reveals the truth about God. And it seems that, you know, that would be something that folks would want to really want is the truth about God. And it's something about religion or religiosity
yes.
that folks will claim on hold to that because they're the benefits that comes with your religion versus, amen, the truth about God. And the truth about God simply is like Brother Rice said, that God had, amen, said that, you know, when man sinned against God, you know, God declared today that man eat of the unforbidden fruit, that man would die. Man never declared that. God declared that.
Yes.
And when man sinned against God, the only person that could fulfill, amen, that void or fulfill that oath was God. Because God declared, in order for me and man to be good, on good terms, this is what he literally said, that man is going to have to die and then man going to have to re-resurrect himself in order for us to ever become right. And that was a task that man just...
Yeah.
Man could never do. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so, you know, I was sharing with my mom is that, you know, we wanted to know when Jesus was whipped, you know, why was he whipped? Why was the stripes on him? We know that it was for the healing. It was for the healing of the nation. But when I look at God and what I know about God is that he's a symbolical God and he's always going to get the laugh and the last word on you. Because you got to understand, when we sinned against him, what pain it caused him. You know, what agony that put God in. What God wasn't in good standing. See, there was a void that God was missing. You know, God died for man, but God wanted something back from man.
Yeah.
That pure, unadulterated relationship, that level of communication. Listen, this can't die. And because of what I want from man, I'm going to die for this. And I'm going to give man the opportunity to choose me again. Because if you want to be in my presence, as much as I desire to be in your presence, we should come together and work this thing out. I'll let Brother Wright close us on out.
We want to close out in prayer?
Yeah.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you so much for your truth, Father. We pray that the word fall on good ground. Father, we thank you for the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We pray that souls are touched, and we pray that souls are saved, Lord. We thank you so much. We pray for the city of Philadelphia. We pray for America, God. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless
amen.
You guys.
Bless you, people of God.